It's the Legal Toolkit with Jared Correa. With guest Jacob Sanders, we play a game called Large Fathers. And then, you don't need a treasure map, folks. Jared is going to lead you to the Promised Land. Stick around until the end for that nugget of joy. But first, your host, Jared Correa.
It's time for the Legal Toolkit podcast. A sublime palette of auditory emanations. Anything less would be uncivilized. And yes, it's still called the Legal Toolkit podcast, even though I don't even know what a rabbit plane does or why it's spelled wrong. I'm your host, Jared Correa. You're stuck with me because Oprah Winfrey was unavailable. She was fucking giving cars away to everybody. Just not you. I'm the CEO of Red Cave Law Firm Consulting, a business management consulting service for attorneys and bar associations. Find us online at redcavelegal.com. Now, before we get to our interview today with Jacob Sanders of Ninja Cat about managing marketing data, let's talk about musicals. So we're going to talk with Jake Sanders about commercial musicals, corporate musicals, which is something I was not even aware existed, but were apparently a big thing back in the day. So while I wait for the Target musical or some shit to come out, I figure I'd talk a little bit about some of my favorite musicals, you know, not the corporate kind. Well, I guess all musicals are corporate because they're designed to make money, but I digress. I don't want to think about this too much. Now, this is going to be a short list because I have a confession to make. I really hate musicals. And I asked a bunch of people about this before I did this monologue, and they all hate musicals as well. I think they're stupid and annoying. I feel like it's a really wild concept that people would just start randomly singing about stuff. That does not happen in real life. I'm not like sitting in the Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru picking up a dozen donuts and just start randomly singing my order. And then the cashier is not singing back at me in response. I can assure you that. This shit never happens. And it completely kills my suspension of disbelief every time it's made to happen on screen or on stage. So if you're like, no, you're wrong, I can fix you, don't bother. You can't. Here's a non-exhaustive list of musicals I really hate, so you can see how serious I am about this. Hamilton sucks. South Pacific sucks. Cats is terrible. West Side Story, awful. Les Miserables, maybe the worst. Yeah, let's sing during the June Rebellion. That'll be good. Okay, bro. Keith Shannon, loyal Legal Toolkit listener and former guest, you're probably listening to this being like, I could get you to like musicals. You cannot get me to like musicals. I was never a theater kid, and I guess I'll never be a theater adult. Now, when I do find a musical I like, it's usually something that's a bit rock and roll or an animated film. Maybe because I actually expect musical artists to be singing shit. And I know also that all kinds of crazy stuff happens in animated movies. Like, you can blow up a duck and he just turns his beak around and starts talking again. If said duck began singing, that's not going to even seem out of place to me. It's sort of expected at that point. So unless you're like Elmer Fudd, just start the dialogue like a normal person. And so given all that, I really had to work to think of musicals I actually like. So here's my list, which I forced myself to make, and it was a horrible experience. Tommy by The Who. Fine album. Rock opera. Actually, come to think of it, I've only seen the movie Tommy once, and I thought it was awful. But hey, the album's fucking great. Does this shit even count? I don't know. I also like some of the songs on Quadrophenia, but it's not as consistently good. And I've never seen the Quadrophenia movie. Just listen to the album. All right, we're off to a great start here. Next, Jesus Christ Superstar. This is an actual stage play, but it's also another of these so-called rock operas. Jesus plus electric guitars. That's enough for me to suspend disbelief. And I'm thinking, okay, some whack shit is about to go down. But again, I've never actually watched this play. I just like the album. Quick story. I inherited the Jesus Christ Superstar album from my uncle. He's a stage actor off-Broadway. I might be so bold as to say off-Broadway. And one time he invited me and my mom and my Uncle Richard to one of his plays. The only thing he didn't tell us was that the first scene was him in a bed with this woman. So the curtain goes up and he's having an extremely loud orgasm. Then he got up, revealing his entire white ass to the whole crowd. He was completely nude. That wasn't traumatic at all, since I was like 13 at the time. Anyway, Jesus Christ Superstar, excellent album. The title track is good. What's the Buzz? Strange Things, Mystifying. That's a great song. And like I said, I've never seen the play, but I did see the movie, and I kind of like the movie. Carl Anderson is in it as Judas, and he's tremendous. Just a powerhouse performance. Okay, let's get to what you've all been waiting for, the animated division, where I am far more accepting of musical content, far more accepting. During the holiday season, I talked about my longtime love affair with Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. It's one of my favorite Christmas movies, and it's a musical with a bunch of dope songs as well. How about that? And they also cover a lot of genres. Now let's move on to the Disney division of my list, because I actually like a lot of the Disney animated musicals. But before we get there, I have to say that I have a soft spot for Mary Poppins, which just has an absurd number of excellent songs in it. Seriously, look at the soundtrack. Not only that, it's setting the stage perfectly for singing humans by having a nanny fly out of the sky using an umbrella. Walter Disney was a motherfucker of a tone setter, let me tell you. Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke are just outstanding in this movie, and the rest of the cast is pretty damn good as well. I mean, it's got A Spoonful of Sugar, Chim Chim Cheree, Jolly Holiday, also one of the greatest live-action/animated scenes you'll ever see, Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, Let's Go Fly a Kite, Step in Time, the song where the uncle is floating to the top of the room, the song at the bank where Dick Van Dyke also plays the bank director, Mr. Dawes, and even the Tuppence Lady who likes to feed the birds. What a fucking power trip. This is maybe the most underrated Disney movie of them all. I love Mary Poppins. Then there's a whole slew of those Disney animated movies that have great soundtracks, which are performed on film by the characters. Now, I said I don't really like Hamilton, but I love the work of Lin-Manuel Miranda on Moana and Encanto, which are two of the best recent Disney movies with amazing songs. The Little Mermaid, Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, The Lion King, Lilo and Stitch, Brave, Oliver and Company, Snow White and Cinderella. I like all the songs. And then there's Frozen, which has a bunch of earworms. No, I'll never be sick of Let It Go. So maybe I'm a little bit of a theater kid. No, I'm not a fucking theater kid. But those are my top five-ish musicals. Now, before we get to our promised conversation with Jacob Sanders of Ninja Cat about leveraging data, let's hear a little something-something from our sponsors. Then we'll get into the rump roast. It's a rump roast that's only for cool cats. Partner with Rankings.io, the marketing agency for law firms that want results, not excuses. With flat rates for Google ads, a track record ranking attorneys for the most competitive terms on Google, and a team always easy to reach by phone, even during off hours, Rankings.io is the agency of choice for firms that want the rankings, traffic, and cases other law firm marketing agencies just can't deliver. Visit Rankings.io for a free consultation and start seeing your firm grow. Simplify with Cosmolex, the only fully integrated practice management solution. Everything you need, accessible anywhere. Trust and general accounting is built in, so you don't need QuickBooks. Cosmolex's Money Finder reminds you to bill for work you put into client matters so you don't leak money. That's messy. Lower cost, better business, and less frustration. Yes, please. It's all built in with Cosmolex. Free trial and take 20% off your first year at cosmolex.com. Okay, everybody, let's get to the meat in the middle of this legal podcasting sandwich. Today's meat is roast goose. It's like we're at the Cratchits for Christmas dinner. Okay, it's time to interview our guest, so let's get to it. Today, I have, making his second appearance on the Legal Toolkit podcast, my guy, Jacob Sanders, who's the content marketing manager at Ninja Cat, which my daughter informed me is apparently different from the Cat Ninja and Kitten Ninja books. In case you were wondering, Jake, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm fresh from the dojo with kitty litter strewn about. Things are going good.
Please tell, do you have a dojo at the Ninja Cat offices?
No, we have like data clean rooms and things of that nature. So
that's exciting.
It's very fine. You know, the only granularity is the depth at which you can plumb into your insights and dashboards. So that's it.
I was anticipating something maybe a little bit more exciting, but that's all right. That's all right. We can work with the data stuff. Not everybody was kung fu fighting, apparently. We haven't talked for a bit. So last time we had you on, you were working with, I think it was a legal-specific marketing agency. Now you're at Ninja Cat, which does more than that, right? Or worse, with more verticals.
Yeah. So yeah, I was working Consult Webs. I did their Lawson podcast, which you were a guest on.
Which was a great show.
I redid A Christmas Carol, and you were one of the ghosts in it. So that was a great opportunity to kind of get my sea legs on how to produce podcasts. And I produce the new podcast for Ninja Cat called What Gets Measured. It's all about data management. And then, yeah, I'm just feeding the content beast. Yeah. So it's similar. But yeah, the clients Ninja Cat works with is ad agencies, people who are looking for reporting at scale, data management, things like that. So it was a bit of a steep climb for me to understand, but once I realized that data is all there is, I was happy to be there because I approach marketing from a creative place, strategic place, and then it all boils down to data. So I'm thankful and learning a bunch with a great crew. So
that's awesome. Yeah, you're a super creative dude. I want to talk a little bit about that. I mean that Christmas Carol thing, I think that's still my only IMDb credit.
Yes.
I'm aware of.
Yeah, no, it's great. Well, the one where you have clothes.
The one where I'm not nude. Yes, that's correct. But try to keep that for my friends and family. Hey, don't go looking too deep on Google.
Please,
everybody.
Don't do that.
Okay? Don't do that. don't move past page one of Google. You were just telling me you also compose music for companies, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You do a little jingle jangle.
You do the jingle jangles. Yeah, I just realized, you know, I have a skill composing and performing music, so I figured I know that jingles are a great way to build memory. Yeah, so we've worked with a couple clients, got a couple new ones in the pipe, and yeah, so that's the main brunt. But I just got an award, the Killer Content Award, for a data management musical that I wrote called Big Data Day, and that was amazing. And like, I was expecting a no. Because usually when I come up with ideas, everyone's like...
Oh, from your company?
Yeah. I was
They're like, shove off? No?
No. They were like, do it. And that's what I wasn't anticipating. I was like, oh, let's write a musical. They were like, go for it. And I was like, oh, no. Because as a creative person, you're used to getting your ideas shot out of the sky like skeet, you know? Because they're like, oh, pull. Give us another idea. Too expensive. Pull. Give us another idea. Too out there, you know? And I'm like, whoa. But that's why it isn't brilliance that matters in creativity. It's resilience. You got to keep coming back. Like, if you put all your eggs in one idea basket, you're going to be upset because people will stomp on them or they'll hate it. So you got to be like, I got hen houses of ideas. So don't worry about it.
Can we unpack the jingle thing a little bit?
Yeah.
Because I'm fascinated. Because like... I can't remember names right now, but I feel like every so often you watch a movie and there's like somebody locked away in a room, like somebody's dad, and it's like, oh, that's Bill. He writes jingles for commercials or whatever. it's always this fucking weird dude. Not that that's you, but.
No. Well, I got into it because I saw this Netflix special called Bathtubs Over Broadway. And it was all about industrial musicals that were in the
50s. Wait, I don't even know if you're kidding right now. Is this a real thing?
I'm not lying, bro. This is the problem with being Jake Sanders is most people don't know when I'm being serious.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And that's an upsetting thing. But no, I'm being 100% serious,
right,
and I will disclaim
over Broadway.
This.
Okay.
Bathtubs Over Broadway. So it was one of the writers at Letterman used to come on and find these weird records, and they would listen to it and make fun of it. And some of them were from American Standard, the plumbing company. And one of them was My Bathroom. And it was like this whole thing about like beautiful songs about people in bathrooms and
that's the place
where you go. And so I got into this movie and it's like, for shareholder meetings at Pepsi, Pennzoil, Coke, IBM, like they would put on musicals for the shareholders to kind of consolidate and get people pumped up. And a lot of people got their start in them, like Cloris Leachman, Martin Short, Cheetah Rivera. Like all these people were in, like dressed up as Pepsi cans, like walking around stage. And that was their beginning. Huh. And then I was like, oh man, we should do this. And then most recently, Taco Bell had a Mexican pizza musical with Dolly Parton. Carl's Jr. has one. Olay has one. So there's still interest in it. So I was like, it's a unique way to consolidate complicated information in a nice, entertaining package. And that's basically what a jingle is. So you just get the brief and say, what do you want me to hit? And then what kind of styles do you want? And, you know, you take it into the shed for 2 weeks and come out with something. And it's an amazing process.
That's why. Okay. Do you have a favorite jingle? Like, it sounds like you're a jingle aficionado.
Oh, man. Well, Nationwide.
Is on your side?
Steve Carman. he's known as the Jingle King.
No. He wrote that. I feel like you're making that up, too. But I feel like now I don't know for sure. I can't even trust myself anymore.
No. Steve Carman, brilliant composer. But he did The Nationwide Is On Your Side, and he got paid like $300. It was like his first gig.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're still using that phrase, that musical phrase. It's untouched. And you, like, there's nothing else in marketing that goes untouched. Everyone wants to change the logo, change the kerning on the font. The colors aren't right. It needs to be aquamarine. No, my aquamarine, you know. And a lot of marketers, especially brands, you know, they get too familiar with their stuff and they get burnt down on it before strangers even know who the hell you are. So jingles are this amazing thing that just can repeat in perpetuity. But I would say anything Steve Carman's done is like gold. It's 3-4 notes and then you're done. You know, like it's an amazing vehicle that really creates brand association, awareness. It generates memories. I mean, 30 years later, people are singing this song
in
the shower.
Crazy. Yeah.
So nothing other than, you know, music can like impact emotions and memory in such a long-lasting fashion.
It's really funny. I always freak my kids out at Christmas because I'm like, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, that started out as like an advertising campaign for Macy's. And they're
absolutely
like, what?
Yeah. Yes.
Now nobody even remembers that.
No.
So the musical thing, I was talking to somebody the other day, they were like, have you seen Big Day Today? It's supposedly better than The Sound of Music. So like, you roll out this project, right? And like, that's a big job, isn't it? Like, you've got actors and stuff like that. Like, how do you even wrangle a project?
Well,
like that?
I mean, that's one of the things. I've listened to a lot of audio dramas, so I just keep it in the cans. So, because visual stuff is like, now you 10x, 20x your problems.
Yeah.
If you can create just an audio reality for it, then you can limit yourself. And then you also have to push kind of creative boundaries because they're not going to be able to see things. So the way you write, the way you compose, the way you, you know, use exposition through songs to get the story across. Yeah. But I mean, it took me about 8, 9, 10 months, you know, to like really get it going on. And
that's a big lift.
Oh, well, and it was just me. So, you know, it's like, okay. You know, most people have somebody who's writing the book, then they have somebody who's writing the lyrics, then you have somebody who's writing the music. I had to do all of it, and sound design, and recording, and production. But it ended up being, like, I love doing those things. I like getting into complicated places and trying to expose a truth or a contradiction, and then making it compelling in a way. So, and using my skills, you know, I like to write, so I like poetry. And so if I can find out your thing and cut out the jargon, people are thankful for that, you know? So that was my goal, is to get the complicated services of Ninja Cat across to an audience in a way that would engage them and sort of be like, oh, wow. And once we started using the clips from the show in our targeted marketing, like, you know, there's not a lot of people who are going for this. So it's account-based marketing. Mm-hmm. But people were sharing our ads. They were responding to an ad they saw. They were like, this is great. And no one gets that in a regular ad campaign. So I was just like, I love that they saw the benefit of the idea, saw the benefit of creativity, but then they also made it a tactical part of the marketing. And that's when it really took off.
What, now, what's a killer content award? Is that like a web or an advertising like creation award? Like what's that?
Yeah, it's something put on by Demand Gen Report. They just are looking for, you know, creative killer content, you know, something that that's good. So yeah, I have.
Do you get
the
like
award.
A physical trophy or something?
I got I got a Finny. I could go get it. I could send you a picture of me with it. And I'm, and that's a problem when you hang out. Like I'm hanging out with Big Daddy Kane and hanging out with a lot of rappers.
We're going to talk about that.
And they don't smile in pictures. You never smile.
Oh, is that
there's
a thing?
No smiling in hip hop.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh
okay.
My God. But so I have a picture.
There's
where
no
I'm
crying
like,
in baseball. There's no smiling in hip hop. Okay, go ahead. I got you.
And I'm mean mugging the camera. And I was like, there was one where I was looking super happy and goofy, and they gave me the serious one, and I was like, duh. But no, it was an exciting thing. I got to go to Scottsdale at the conference. Then they asked me to be on a panel. Then I was on one of their podcasts. Then I met a lot of like great people. So it just was like a huge, huge win.
Are you rolling up to Big Daddy Kane and you're like, I know maybe you have some Grammys and shit, but like, have you seen my Finny? You should be.
I'm flexing inappropriate. I go to the pool in the apartment complex and I bring my award. And they're like, excellent. Okay.
All right, let's do some serious shit. Let's talk about data. This seems like it's mostly what you're into these days. And I'm kind of like, I love data stuff. Like, I wish more law firms were into it. So, like, can you talk a little bit about, like, why businesses should be capturing data and then, like, leveraging it, too? Softball. Big softball here for you.
it's a hard ball because... If you look, I just saw a recent stat, and marketers, the number one skill gap that is on is data and analysis. So a lot of people have all the data. Like, we're past the era of big data. It's like, just get it. Yeah. Now no one knows what to do with it. And so you're like, oh. Right. And then you talk to people about, I get to interview people like statistics, you know, people who are working in like the engineering level with data. And it's amazing how messy it is on the ground, like in a raw form. So like if you're not normalizing it or cleaning it or deduping it, then whatever things that you're bubbling up from it are going to be erroneous. So you have to really get your taxonomy right. You got to get your spreadsheets smooth, you know, all those things. And so it was like, oh, wow. And then, you know, people thinking they're going to leverage AI. AI is working off of data. And if your data isn't clean, anything that's downstream of that is going to be dirty, but you won't know it because you don't have interpretation skills. You don't know how to look at things and find the insights. And it isn't the high point and the low point of a graph that tells a story. Yeah. It's something about the whole thing. So getting schooled from all the people at NinjaCat on what goes into those things really enlightened me. And I mean, I'm a jazz guy. I'm not a details man. And I like to improvise, but I like tight structure. You know, I like good frameworks. And so if you want to get to those things and you want them to be valuable, efficient, effective, you have to know what you're looking at. You have to know where it came from. You have to know who it pertains to. And then you have to understand enough about the tacit knowledge within the industry or the vertical about what's it telling me. And right now, people don't have those skills. So it's a really interesting time to be in data. But I think that if people are interested in it, the number one thing is to have a connection and a communication plan with the people who are getting it, with the people who are understand it, and then you work together to create reality. Like, there isn't truth in a vacuum. There is no observational, like, view from nowhere. We work together to say what this means. And that's the key part about data, is it's not about statistical awareness. It's not about analytics. It's about you knowing what matters to you, and then knowing where to get it, and then knowing how to kind of bubble up those insights. So, man, I mean, I love it because you can find a lot of truth in those things.
Yeah. The search for truth in data. All right. So this doesn't get you the whole way there, but it helps a whole lot to have software, right?
Yes.
And I feel like more modern softwares are doing a much better job like surfacing that data.
Yeah.
And then also displaying it in a more visually appealing way. yes. rather than just like a million Excel spreadsheets.
Yes.
It sounds like you feel the same way.
Well, I mean, when you realize how much people are still using Excel spreadsheets, and when you watch somebody who knows how to use an Excel spreadsheet, I'm like entranced. I'm like, oh, wow. How do you, whoa, you did a pivot table. Like, what's that about? You know, and that is
I can't
my
do formulas point. Worth a damn on Excel.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. When you watch somebody who knows that stuff, it's like I'm watching a Rembrandt kind of moment.
Right,
I'm just
right.
like, But, you know, Facebook is going to tell you this conversion means this. LinkedIn is going to tell you that this conversion means that. This platform is going to tell you this and that. Salesforce is not going to connect with the structured data of another place. So you're like, oh, whoa. So you really have to have an approach and an appreciation for the complications of these things. And then come with some hard rules about taxonomy, data dictionaries, those kind of things.
Right.
And that's and that might pertain to a spreadsheet. So I don't dog those things.
No, I think they're great. Okay, so I got one more question for you on the data stuff, which is, you're a super creative dude.
Yeah.
Like you said, jazz guy. How do you feel about like marketing automations? Because sometimes I talk to creative people about it and they're like, I want to be more high touch. I don't want to automate everything. Do you think there's a point in which like businesses can automate too much of a flow, including like an intake workflow?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like chatbots, you know, we're old enough to remember when everybody needed a chatbot. Everybody, and particularly particularly at law firms, though, they're like, well, we don't need to hire people to do intake anymore.
You know, right,
we can just have it automated. Nah. Like, they're not
sorry,
just
Matilda,
intake.
Sorry, Matilda, you're out.
It's not going to work, you know? Not only are those people taking information, they're not just capturing things, they're also having a conversation.
Yeah.
And some things can be elicited through conversation that is not going to be on a 1, 2, 3, 4 spreadsheet survey or whatever. I mean, that's my thing, is like qualitative insights mixed with quantitative reality is the blend. And so you have to make sure you understand the quality of the things to measure the appropriate quantity of the things. And automation, I think, is a great way to get quantified there. But if you're not qualitatively looking at that stuff, then it doesn't help you none. So, like, I think it's a blend. I wouldn't want, and I could see how automation looking like high touch, that's the problem.
Right.
Like, I want it really personalized, you know, like, hey, name, I saw the weather in blank is good today. You know,
it sounds
like the blank sports team is doing okay. will you buy my thing? You know, and you're like, it's not working. You know, people still want humans, man. But I can't knock it. Imagine if you're a small team. How else would you be able to scale and grow without automation? But my thought about automation is that if everyone has a tool, there's no competitive advantage. But how you use a tool gives you a comparative advantage. And so no one uses this stuff the way you do, unless you just think that you're going to do it like everybody else. And they're like, you can use templates, but don't be templated when you use them.
Wow. I think we should stop right there because that was beautiful. Jake, this was great. Will you stick around for one last segment, even though you have no idea what it's going to be about?
No, I won't.
Okay. Adam,
okay, all right.
We got to find a different guest. Okay, we'll do it anyway. All right. We'll take one final break so you can hear more about our sponsor companies and their latest service offerings. Then stay tuned for the rump roast. It's even more supple than the roast beast, and we may or may not have Jake back for that. Contract automation isn't a trend. It's a strategic imperative. Though big players in the e-sign world will make you believe implementing it will cost you big bucks and more than a few headaches, it doesn't have to be that way. DocuBee is an easy-to-onboard, full suite of products that includes e-signature, brilliant workflow capabilities, and AI contract automation at nearly half the price of those out-of-touch behemoths. The one thing DocuBee doesn't automate? Their customer service. Visit get.docubee.com/contracts to set up a call with a real live person. DocuBee will be with you every step of the way.
Hey, Gee, what's up? Just having some lunch, Conrad.
Hey, Gee, do you see that billboard out there?
Oh, you mean that guy out there in the gray suit?
Yeah, the gray suit guy.
Order up.
There's all those beautiful, rich, leather-bound books in the background.
That is exactly the one. That's J.D. McGuffin at law. He'll fight for you!
I bet you he has got so many years of experience.
Like decades and decades. And I bet, Gee, I bet he even went to a law school.
Are you a lawyer? Do you suffer from dull marketing and a lack of positioning in a crowded legal marketplace? Sit down with Gee and Conrad for Lunch Hour Legal Marketing on the Legal Talk Network. Available wherever podcasts are found.
All right, everybody, welcome back. That's right, we're at the rear end of the Legal Toolkit podcast. We call it the Rump Roast. It's a grab bag of short form topics, all of my choosing. Why do I get to pick? Because I'm the host. So, Jake, thanks for coming back. I think you're still here, right? You haven't left yet?
No, I have one foot out the door, but if this doesn't go great, then I'm...
If it gets ugly, you just dip, and then I'll just start talking to myself for 10 minutes. So we do a little trivia game here. I want to play a little trivia game with you called Large Fathers. I just invented it. We're going to talk about big daddies of history. I'm going to ask you questions on that theme, and all you have to do is simply answer those questions correctly.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. First one, I'll give you multiple choice here if you need it, but I don't think you'll need it for this one. This big daddy released a rap album in 1989. What a great year. Entitled, It's a Big Daddy Thing. Do you know who this is?
I would believe that is Big Daddy Kane, who I refer to as the Benjamin Franklin of rap.
I also saw on Wikipedia that one of his nicknames is Count Macula, which I love. I'm not sure if that's a real thing.
I'm not sure
if it's referring to Mac Daddy or macular degeneration at this point, but
he
anyway.
Is so real. Well, he has stories of him hanging out with Dolomite, all they would do is just talk mad shit to each other. But one of those things that comes with that territory is everybody gets like pimp names and like, so I would assume Count Macula might be coming from that.
Great. Oh, so I should stop for a second here and say the reason I asked you this question is because I think you still play saxophone for Big Daddy Kane, right?
Yeah, for the past 10 years, I've been playing saxophone with Big Daddy Kane on stage, everywhere, all across this fine nation.
Albums too? Or just the stage shows?
Yeah, there's an album, one of his last ones is called Last Supper. And it's sort of like a hip-hop kind of R&B crossover. And I'm on that record.
Okay. Let's do the rest. They're not going to be as exciting, but
okay,
you can turn off the show now. No, I'm just kidding. Please keep listening. Okay. In the Adam Sandler film, Big Daddy, the Adam Sandler character has a friend who is a lawyer named Kevin, who is played by which former Daily Show host? See, these get tougher. Was it Trevor Noah, Jon Stewart, or Craig Kilborn in Big Daddy, who's the lawyer? Trevor Noah, Jon Stewart, or Craig Kilborn?
I would say, Jon Stewart's film career has not been great, so I would assume he's in something like that. But it seems like they had Craig Kilborn money, so I would think Craig Kilborn.
No, stick with your first choice. Jon Stewart.
Oh, that's correct. Jon Stewart. Well, no wonder. No,
I don't know who had the better career, Jon Stewart or Craig Kilborn. I'm not sure.
Let's
better
measure.
Film career.
The Egyptian gods will measure their hearts when they die. And they'll be like, sorry, Craig Kilborn's going to heaven.
Craig Kilborn was good as the dickhead boyfriend in Old School.
He's a great dickhead. Yeah. He had great delivery, too. You know?
Right. All right, I got three more for you. In the movie The Princess and the Frog, which you probably have seen millions of times, there's a character named Big Daddy, who was played by which former cast member from The Big Lebowski? Steve Buscemi, Jeff Bridges?
John Goodman.
3 for 3. I'm going to give you the Jon Stewart one. 3 for 3.
Thank you.
All right, I got two more for you.
All right.
The 10th studio album by this artist, which was released in 1989, was entitled Big Daddy. And I don't know, perhaps this person was drawing inspiration from the one and only Big Daddy Kane. Is it, with the 1989 album Big Daddy, Cat Stevens, John Cougar Mellencamp, or Glass Tiger?
I wouldn't know. This sounds like a white music history question. So I might get this wrong.
But I'm, you're the funkiest R-E-M. White guy in New
Are
Orleans,
you sure it's
so
not
you
Michael
should
Stipe?
Know.
It's got to be Michael Stipe. Run the tape back. No. It's got to be
Cat Stevens, John Mellencamp,
Cat Stevens?
Glass Tiger.
I think it's Cougar, John Cougar.
It is. Oh man. Yay! Oh man, we might have a perfect score here on the Rum Pros. Everybody, buckle your seatbelts. Last one. Big Daddy's is a Missouri plus size men's clothing store, a Tennessee pizza restaurant chain, or a New Hampshire mattress store. One of these is called Big Daddy's. The Missouri plus size men's clothing store, the Tennessee pizza restaurant chain, or the New Hampshire mattress store.
I'm going to assume, since there is a Big Daddy's pizzeria here in Inglewood, that it's the pizza place.
Correct. Oh my God. We have a perfect score. Boom. Very rare. Now you can put that on the shelf next to the Finney, although we don't actually have a physical award to
send me. Yeah, just whatever. Just send me dryer lint in an envelope. Like, I don't care.
We covered a lot of ground here today. Yeah. Thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. We'll have to do it again sometime.
Thank you so much. I love you, Jared, and all this stuff and your appreciation for humor and entertainment. It does not go unnoticed. I am so grateful to be a part of this.
You're too kind. Come back again soon.
I will.
If you want to find out more about Jacob Sanders and his work at NinjaCat, visit ninjacat.io. And check out Jake's LinkedIn, which is pretty interesting. Now, for those of you listening in Fort Worth, Texas, we've got a Spotify playlist just for you. It's called Songs from Musicals That Don't Suck. Now, sadly, I've run out of time today for me to talk about how to find the clitoris. So I guess you're on your own. This is Jared Crea, reminding you that beer is proof that God can really tie one on.
If you're a lawyer running a solo or small firm and you're looking for other lawyers to talk through issues you're currently facing in your practice, join the Unbillable Hours Community Roundtable, a free virtual event on the third Thursday of every month. Lawyers from all over the country come together and meet with me, lawyer and law firm management consultant Christopher T. Anderson, to discuss best practices on topics such as marketing, client acquisition, hiring and firing, and time management. The conversation is free to join, but requires a simple reservation. The link to RSVP can be found on the Unbillable Hour page at LegalTalkNetwork.com. We'll see you there.